Hello and welcome back to A Sprinkle of Disney, and you're tuning in to our 15th episode. If you're new, then a very magical welcome to you. This weekend, we've hit over 1,000 downloads, which is insane. We can't quite believe that many of you have listened to our voices. It kind of freaks us out, but at the same time, it's amazing.
It's a bit weird that like our voices have been downloaded 1,000 times.
Yeah, because we both say whenever we edit the podcast as well, we're like sick of hearing our voices, aren't we?
So yeah,
we're
like, I don't mind your voice. When I edit.
It's our own voices.
We were just saying then, like, every now and again when we try and, like, go on to check our, like, everything's running smoothly on the channels, we'll accidentally click on an episode and it starts playing and we're like, no, I don't want to hear my own voice.
We've already heard this before, like, twice. So, yeah, so anyway, we wanted to say a massive thank you to you all, whether you've been here since day one or this is your first episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to hear our Disney rambles, because that is essentially what they are. So, again, that's why we're so amazed. And to celebrate this, we're currently running a giveaway over on our Instagram, which is at A Sprinkle of Disney Podcast. And we're actually giving away some Shop Disney goodies and some other bits as well. It's a very exciting giveaway. I mean, we're happy to win it, we've both said.
We ordered it, and Rosie had to send me a text message telling me not to keep the things when they arrived at my house.
Yeah.
It was a struggle.
I was like, I can see Katie opening this and then just be like, oh, it didn't arrive. I have to order something else.
One of the items you'll see over on our Instagram. It's very me. So it came and Rosie warned me, and then I took a picture with it, and I don't think I can part with it. It's quite like sat on my table, and I'm just trying. I need to put it in the box, really, because I just want to keep it.
You need to part with it already. Like, don't get attached. It's not yours. So yeah, that's over on our Instagram, as I said before, at A Sprinkle of Disney Podcast, and that is running for 2 weeks.
Yeah, so it should be about a week and a half left, I think. Yes. Now. We released it over on Saturday. Head over to there to enter. If I do so ourselves, they are good prizes.
We
picked them things that we would like to buy, and they're all official Disney products as well.
Yes.
Although obviously it isn't endorsed by Disney or Instagram or Podbean or anyone else.
And is UK only as well, we should mention actually.
Oh yeah.
Before you go over and are disappointed, sorry. Due to COVID and Brexit, it had to be UK only. Yeah.
Like we love you all, but we don't necessarily love you that much with the shipping costs.
And customs and whatever else could go on.
Oh, can you imagine? So for this time only, it is UK only. We'll look in the future at like international options, but for now it's just the UK. So
yes,
but we still love our USA listeners. We do, we promise.
We do. We appreciate you. We know there's lots of you, so thank you.
We'll talk a bit more about what's happening over on our Instagram later in the episode, because we have some other things happening that you can get involved with as well. But let's get back to what we're talking about in today's episode. So today we're coming back to our Disney Plus episodes. This week is all about Pixar, which I'm sure Rosie is thrilled about.
Yes.
Rosie is our Pixar expert. So last month, so January 2021, Disney Plus released some new Pixar content, the Pixar Popcorn Shorts. That's really hard to say all at once. We'll be discussing those shorts in today's episode.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
So before we get stuck in, let's have our very first Disney fun fact of the episode. Of course, all of today's fun facts are Pixar themed, of course.
Of course.
So Disney Pixar fun fact number one. Before Pixar was a major animation studio, they used to be in the business of making commercials, or adverts, if you're okay. They worked with major brands such as Tropicana and Listerine. And I saw one of the adverts before, and it's like Listerine like, in a boxing ring. It's so bizarre.
Oh, wow. I love how it's like shows the creativity of Pixar still.
I know.
Like, before they went into animating films.
How crazy is that? Back in the poor Pixar days, clearly.
Yes.
Wow. Well, then moving back to animation, which is where Pixar is known for now, what are the Pixar popcorn shorts? So, like I just said, they were released only about 2 or 3 weeks ago. They are fairly new over on Disney Plus. And they are 10 shorts based on classic Pixar films. They range between, like, I think it's like 1 to 3 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
I think some maybe creep towards 4, but they're mainly like, without credits and stuff, they're like 1 to 3 minutes. It's not the first short series that Pixar have done. You might have seen it. They've done quite a few, like the Toy Story shorts for like Sky exclusively a few years ago. obviously they're all available on Disney Plus now. But I remember there was a while, but there was quite a few exclusive to Sky, like the Horror Nights one and stuff like that for Toy Story. So they've done quite a lot for Toy Story. They've done the Forky ones quite recently as well.
Yeah, Forky Asked the Question.
Which I quite enjoyed. So they're already all on Disney Plus to be enjoyed. But this is the first Pixar short series to be animated completely from home. Because obviously pandemic. So the idea for the Pixar Popcorn Anthology actually started back in April of last year in 2020, during the first few weeks of quarantine. The executive producer of Pixar, Andy Bell, who sounds like a great guy, but the more I read about him, the more I like him. He sounds really cool. He decided to ask all of the animators who are between feature film projects to try their hand at creating some shorts using a few of the Pixar franchises that already existed. So because they were all transitioning between projects, they were only available for about 2 months at a time, which meant that the entire project had to kind of be like rushed through like a fast track project. I wonder what projects they were all working on. That's really cool.
I know, I was thinking that when I read that.
I wonder, some of them must have been like finishing up on like Soul and stuff, I imagine. Yeah. Because that was all done from home as well, wasn't it? So like they were either like moving on to that, or that was been quite cool. But this meant that there was no scripts, no storyboards, and no other like standard preliminary steps. So the fact that Pixar films normally take years to be produced, it's pretty crazy. These were done in like 2 months. The way it worked was that 100 animators were divided into 10 teams. Sounds like a bit like The Hunger Games, doesn't it?
I know it does.
Each were led by a different director, and they all pitched ideas. And then once those ideas were accepted by the studio, they literally began animating immediately, which is crazy.
That's insane.
I think that's so strange. When you compare it to the way that it's normally done, how long it normally takes to get to the animating stage, that's crazy.
Yeah, like the ideas, like pitching the ideas and coming up the story usually takes forever, and then they have to spend ages animating like scene by scene. So just go straight into animation after doing a brief pitch,
especially when you think about the fact that they have like normally when they animate, like the storyboards are all doing like pencil and they're very brief and there's not like a continuous stream. So they just skipped all of that. They've clearly just gone straight into animated. And I think it'll be a bit different if it was like one person per project. So you just kind of work at your own pace. But if you've got like 20 people or whatever per, that's wrong. 100 divided by 10 is 10.
10? Good job this isn't a maths podcast.
I know, 10. I got really excited and thought of 20. I'm actually quite good at maths as well. That's really embarrassing. So if you've got 10 animators on a project, all start from the same place. That's quite a lot to ask of people.
That's
so.
Some crazy Zoom calls as well. You can just imagine the impracticality of doing animation over Zoom.
Well, I was reading about that today, and they were saying that actually was the biggest problem they had. It wasn't the animating from home. It was the Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
Because it were like normally when they have meetings at Pixar, they'll obviously like sketch and like share sketches.
Like, yeah, like brainstorm.
Do that on
no.
Zoom.
No, because like in person, you can bounce off ideas more, like the energy of the atmosphere of the room. There, but over Zoom, we all know what Zoom's like. It's like it's a bit dull and like no one's really got the same enthusiasm over Zoom as you have in person. So I can imagine,
especially when obviously something like animation is so visual. It's bizarre. So once they had their pitch approved, they could start animating, but they had some really specific rules to follow. So they had to use existing characters and sets from the feature films. They couldn't like make up their own stuff because it would just take far too long.
It makes sense.
It does. And the characters all had to be authentic to how they would be in the film, so they couldn't just take like for example Woody and suddenly turn him into like, you know, an opera singer. It just wouldn't work. And they couldn't record new dialogue either, because A, from a money point of view, is that think of how much money it would get to get Tom Hanks in within the next 2 months. Like, bizarre.
Unrealistic.
And obviously that would then not fit within your 2 month
deadline,
because recording, even when you can record from home, like Josh Gad did for the Olaf Adventures, it can be done, but it's still timely and it's going to cost you money as well. So they have to think of ideas that could be done within that window of time as well. So quite a challenge. It feels a little bit like an interview task.
Like,
it's strange.
It does. It's like a little like project, like experimental creative project.
But it's clearly work, because the animation in it is lovely, which we'll talk about in a sec. But I was reading articles today that were talking about how it has changed the way the studio can work probably in the future. And maybe gives a bit more autonomy to the animators themselves. So as I said, there are 10 episodes. Episodes feels like a bit of a stretch because they're gonna be like a minute long.
To call them episodes.
So I'll just like read them out now in case you haven't seen them. So The first one is called To Fitness and Beyond, which is a Toy Story one. Then we have Unparalleled Parking from Cars. We have Dory Finding, which I think is such a clever name.
It is. When I first read it, I was like, this is so basic. And then I was like, when I watched it, I was like, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Basically, name. That one is about like Dory finding things on the ocean floor. But I love that it's called just Dory Finding rather than Finding Dory. It makes me really happy. Then we have Soul of the City, which is obviously from Soul. We have Fluffy Stuff with Ducky and Buddy Love. Interesting.
Interesting long name.
Yeah. Then we have Chore Day, The Incredibles Way. A Day in the Life of the Dead from Coco. Another Fluffy Stuff with Ducky and Bunny, but this one's about three heads. Then we have Dancing with the Cars. Oh, I just got that. I just got that.
No, surely.
The Stars.
That was hilarious. You've only just got that.
Yeah. I think I forgot there was a the in it. I thought it was just Dancing with Cars. So I was like, oh. And I was like, the cars from the film. Didn't click. That's funny.
And it's clicked.
That's really funny. And then the final one is Cookie Num Num from The Incredibles. So it covers six different Pixar worlds. We go from Toy Story like three times, I think, and then we have two Incredibles ones and two Cars ones as well. So there are some repeats in there. You're able to watch them all as separate episodes if you prefer, or they've now added in the option to watch it as one continuous 20-minute episode, which I know some people prefer. Whatever you choose to watch, it lets you see all the content, so you get to see all of the title credits if you watch 20 minutes, and you also get to watch the intro titles, which have like Varian Luxo lamp intro, which are really cute.
I love that. I thought that was so cool.
So each Pixar short has like the classic Pixar logo intro with the lamp, but they have a variety of popcorn across them all as well, which is really nice. And the idea of these shorts is that they feature short moments from the Pixar world. So they're like snapshots of life in these worlds, which is really cool. We kind of get to see characters in a way that we normally don't see them, like in their day-to-day life, which is really cool. I enjoy like the concept of it. And it's like a nice little Disney fix, especially with things like Toy Story and The Incredibles, where the world is so big. You can identify it with like normal family life. It was nice to see that in flow. So that's the kind of context behind it. That's what they look like in case you haven't seen them yet. And Rosie's going to tell us a little bit about how the series has been received. It is quite new. It's short. There's not as much written about them. But Rosie's going to tell us a bit more about how people have responded to the shorts.
Yeah, so I think like we should probably start with the fact, like you were saying, because it's so new, there's not a lot of reviews. Like even when Soul was new, because it's a film, it had more reviews than these shorts did, because people love to review films and critics obviously gravitate towards reviewing films a lot more than they do like projects like this, because this isn't exactly like a main project from like Pixar or Disney, so it's very different in that respect. So in terms of its score, it's our classic score. If you've listened to other episodes, we always give a score from IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes. They seem to be our trusty sources.
Yes.
So IMDb, the overall score, they've actually got individual scores per episode as well, which I'll briefly touch on because I think it's quite interesting to see which ones are most popular. But the overall score out of 10 from 819 reviews was 6.7, which is interesting because I don't know, cause I think it's interesting because you kind of like, I don't want to compare it to the score for films because it's not the same thing. It's not fair to do that. So
I guess if you round it up, it's like 70%, which is quite high.
Yeah, it is. That was my immediate reaction. I thought that is quite high
for 20 minutes of footage.
Yeah. So from the off, pretty good reception in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But however, if we look at Rotten Tomatoes, so it's also worth noting as well, there's not enough reviews from the critics to give like a critic score. So at this point, we normally say like the critics thing. Yeah, there's one, but there's no writing with it. It's literally just they've given a score and it's like, great.
how are you classed as a critic?
Yeah, like you didn't do your job. Where is your writing? But the audience gave it 57%, which is definitely on the lower side of ones that we've had before the Pixar, Pixar projects, I'd say. But it's still not bad, because if you round that up, it's like 60%. So that's not so bad. But in terms of like the individual episodes, so I'll just briefly go through them all one by one. So the To Fitness and Beyond one, which is a Toy Story one, they actually, it's worth noting, they've all had about 200 reviews each, which I thought was quite impressed with, because I was like, I'm surprised people have gone through and actually reviewed them all individually, as well as reviewing it overall. But To Fitness and Beyond has had 6.4 out of 10, which is fairly high.
Mm.
Paralleled Parking has had 6.1. That's one of the lower scores.
Mm.
Dory Finding has had 6.7. So again, that's pretty good. Soul of the City has had 6.9. So that's pretty high. Fluffy Stuff Love is 6.5. So again, fairly decent score. Chore Day The Incredibles Way has had 7.7.
Of
so
course,
that's the highest.
People love The Incredibles.
People love
they?
The Incredibles characters so much. I think even if there was something that wasn't great, they'd still give it a great score because people just love those characters. And then A Day in the Life of the Dead has 6.7. And then the other fluffy stuff with Ducky and Bunny, Three Heads, has got 6.7 as well. Dancing with the Cars has got 6 out of 10.
What?
So that's that's the lowest one out of all of them.
And then Cookie, I object.
I know. I think that's too low. People are being too harsh. But to be fair, people generally don't like Cars.
I don't really like Cars though, Rosie. Like, it's not like I don't like it, but when I saw there was more than one Cars one, I was like, for goodness.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed that second one. And I enjoy it even more now that I know there's a play on words in the title.
Well, I'm sure there's other people like that as well. But I think there's also some people that legit are just like, oh, it's Cars. I don't like this. Mm. Like, they have that automatic feeling.
That's true.
They decide before they've watched it, that classic thing. And then Cookie Num Num, so the other Incredibles one, has got 7.7. So as you can see, both of the Incredibles ones were received the best. Wow. People love those ones. The Cars ones are the lowest ones on the scale. And then you've kind of got like the Ducky and Bunny ones are like mid-range. You've got Dory Finding, which is really hard to say because you so easily say Finding Dory. The Coco one and Soul, they're all like kind of just below the Incredibles ones.
6.7 seemed quite like a popular...
Yeah, that seemed to be like the medium, which makes sense because that's like the overall score. So, and obviously the To Fitness and Beyond one is kind of one of the lower ones as well. So we've got an interesting range, but obviously it's between 6 and 7.7.
I love how none of them are like 2. And they're all like around the same.
At least there was no like massive fail.
Yeah,
that's like,
strange, isn't it?
Yeah. So, they're the scores that people have given, the audience have given on IMDb. So that kind of gives you like a setup of what people thought of each individual episode, if you like. In terms of what people have actually said when they've written reviews, so someone on IMDb said, it is refreshing to see these studios freed of the weight of their franchises to experiment both narratively and visually.
I like that. I agree with that.
I think that's the thing I thought when I was watching it the most. I was like, this seems like basically a creative experiment where people are just free to do what they want. There's like less pressure than there normally is.
I feel like it lets the animators show off a little bit more. They get to do things with their animation that they wouldn't be able to do within a plot.
Yeah, because I think like obviously like short films, like you say, they can be used for things like progression up the like animation ladder and things like that, because they're generally used for like more industry experience rather than to be put out as like
that's really true
main
actually,
things. So they're there to like showcase people's talents for future feature films and things like that. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if anyone's watched Zenimation, which is something that we both recommended, I think back in our first Disney Plus episode. That has a similar vibe to it, I think, where you kind of like take the scenes and the music from that one as well, and you get to enjoy parts of that world beyond the plot, which I think is really nice and inventive. If it was like longer, it would be a little bit different. You'd be a bit like, I need some kind of guidance, but because they're only short, it's like a snapshot into someone's world, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It's like a bite-sized preview as to what someone can do. And how they can make it a feature film. So yeah, I agree with that one. And this next one's quite long. So someone said, not going to lie, this is very weak by Pixar standards. Even the animation felt a bit below par, if you ask me. Only 2 of the shorts have proper voice acting, and as a result, automatically some of the better ones. The Incredibles shorts were my favorite of the bunch because they kind of had a plot and gags that were fairly interesting for 2 minutes, but the rest, completely pointless and mostly a waste of time. One plus side is you only need around 20 minutes to binge through all of them. Disappointing. I think this person's had a bad day.
Do you know what's disappointing? Their response.
It's the fact that it says, if you ask me, has anyone asked you though?
No one's asked you actually. Do you know what? I think this, and we're going to talk in a little bit about the fact that there's no dialogue in them.
Yeah.
This is the problem with Western audiences of today, that everyone needs to have everything explained out to them. How can this person for literally 1 to 2 minutes just sit and enjoy that scene?
Like, I know. I think it just shows the expectations of the modern world as well. Like, everyone expects everything to be incredible and mind-blowing and groundbreaking. And it's like, can't we just have things that are just nice to watch for 5 minutes?
It concerns me that this person's like, the fact that them having voice acting equates to them being better.
That's a concerning viewpoint, because that really disregards like animation, sound effects,
the
music.
It disregards the whole short series, because the whole point, like you've just said, is it gives animators a chance to be creative, to like push themselves, to get that art form out in the open and appreciated. And this person's literally just been like, I don't care.
And they clearly don't understand that that can be done well. You can do a short really well, as Pixar have shown many a time with their original ones.
True.
Without dialogue. Like, most of Pixar's original shorts don't have dialogue.
So true. But again, if this person went in looking for dialogue, they were
then
only
they'll be disappointed. They set themselves up for disappointment and failure. I'm sorry. So moving on.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, sorry, whoever that was. If you're listening, sorry we ripped you apart. Next. So this one is from What's on Disney Plus, and they've said, Pixar Popcorn is a nice collection of bite-sized shorts that will keep kids entertained, but adult Pixar fans might just get a couple of chuckles out of it. The animation is fantastic, it's full of character, just no dialogue. It's a mixed bag, but definitely worth checking out for younger Pixar fans. And they've given it a rating of 3.5 out of 5.
I think what you said before is good. It's hard to rate them. First of all, because they're a whole series of different things. It's not like they're all Toy Story. They're all different. And they, I would say that some have like their weaknesses, some have their strengths.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's not the same as ranking a film. Because it's, you can't do it. I think I agree when they say about the fact, I think it is targeted more towards kids.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
The fact that there's no dialogue makes it more accessible for kids in particular. The fact that like it's more visual, again, is more for kids.
Yeah.
And the fact that if you look at the characters they've picked in particular, like the fact that there's two of those bunny and ducky ones.
Yeah, that's definitely kid oriented.
They're like, oh goodness, don't get me started. They're obviously quite kid, but I think as an adult, like, I found it hilarious watching the Incredibles ones, watching them all use their powers was so funny.
Yeah.
So I think they're right, but that doesn't mean that as adults we can appreciate the animation more than obviously kids would. So I think it's probably targeted more towards kids, but adults can still appreciate the deeper meaning of them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they've acknowledged the animation as great, but again, they've done the whole thing where it's like, oh, there's no dialogue, so I'm going to knock it down by a few points. And it's like, that shouldn't be what you're rating it on. And also, just coming back to the scoring, this reminds me of when we had to review Fantasia, one of our classic episodes. Was it episode 10?
Do you know what? I've blocked it from my mind. I'll be completely honest.
It's probably
honest.
10 or 11, so check both of those out.
It must be 10.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so yeah, it reminds me of that, because that's obviously got segments in the film.
Yeah, because we found that hard to rate, didn't we? Because we were like, there's certain sections that we like more than others, so.
Exactly, so I feel like this is the same, because you can't really look at this, like, obviously it's not a whole, you can watch it as a whole, but like, it's difficult to score it as a whole, because there's so many individual elements to it. So yes, now moving on to our next one. So this is from Laughing Place. So they've said, all of the shorts are charming, some are even laugh out loud funny. With the characters and worlds already created, this kind of content feels like a perfect addition to Disney Plus during slower content release periods to avoid the dreaded churn phenomenon of subscribers. With most of the shorts being sans dialogue, they also feel perfect for the global audience that now has access to Disney Plus.
I agree with that. I like that, the idea that like it's more accessible from a language point of view as well.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, it's more accessible, it's more user-friendly, it's just more relatable for everyone, I think, in that sense. No one's being excluded.
And they make a really good point that actually it works Disney Plus. Would it work on the big screen? Would it work on DVD? Yeah. No. But
exactly.
It works on Disney Plus when you're looking for something short to watch or something to like put on for your kids because they're crying or whatever. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's those things that they, maybe your kid really likes Buzz Lightyear and they've watched the same four films on repeat and you need to give them something new. Like, that would be quite a nice thing to do. But I don't think they wouldn't work beyond Disney Plus. So
no.
It is the perfect place for them.
I agree. I think that's why Disney Plus is so great, is because what we're seeing is all this like fresh new content, different ideas. They're able to be more creative with what they release on here. They don't have the pressure of having to create a perfect short to kind of go before the Pixar films or a Disney film. Because with those, they have to be obviously like really well curated. Yeah. They take time, they take ages, and there's a big selection process. But it's nice that they felt like they could just kind of showcase people's talents.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
Innovation and stuff. So yeah, I agree. It definitely wouldn't work in the cinema.
No,
and definitely more catered to kids. So yes, I agree with them. And then next, from Sparkly Pretty Bright, someone has said, granted, Pixar popcorn is all over and done with in just 20 all too short minutes. You can either watch them as discrete cartoons or do a mega all 10 at once watch-a-thon. And they might leave you yearning for some more long-form storytelling, but each of the cartoons are a bite-sized piece of animation perfection. Wow.
I think I agree with that, though. I like that, because, yeah, you might want a little bit more. But again, yeah, I like that this person focuses on the animation. Thank you. They say like it's a small piece of animation that's the craft, that's the point.
I like that, because they're actually getting the point of it. Like a short.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it is meant to have a bit of a plot, but it's not meant to have a massive story to be told. It's meant to tell like a little bite-sized story of characters that we already know. We don't need the rest of the story, because we already know who they are.
So
I like that one. And then another one from Laughing Place. Someone said, I ended up loving Pixar popcorn far more than I thought I would. It's essentially extended versions of the cute animated bumpers Pixar usually make to promote their films, but they're delightful nonetheless. I would love to see the series continue, especially if they can dive into some of the other worlds. Yes.
We'll talk about this later.
We feel very passionately about the selection of films that they actually chose for this.
Yes.
So yeah, we'll leave that discussion for later.
I'm building it up.
You can already tell it's going to be a good one. And then lastly, another IMDb reviewer said, it's always fun to see what Pixar is up to, and I appreciate their attempts to do something a little different, but these shorts don't really work. With virtually no voice work, everything feels like a pantomime, which really saps the life from the characters and thereby the shorts themselves.
For goodness sake.
As a result, they're too hollow for a more mature audience and too boring for a younger one.
What?
Ironically, for the few episodes that do have voice acting, the short becomes entirely about the voice work, swinging it entirely too far in the other direction. In short, pun intended, well, these are a swing and a miss for me.
Sorry.
Still too much, my
friend.
What
did this person want? Because when they were given dialogue, they complained that there was too much focus on the dialogue. So, IMDb review, what did you actually want?
I think this person's a Karen, because they're clearly happy to just complain about everything.
Yeah, again, the fact that they're like, because there's no voice work, the characters are empty. I'm like, you literally just disregarded the entirety of the production team.
Yeah, like, do you want anything? Because you're saying you don't like this. Like, it saps the life out of them. You don't like the voice act. What do you want?
And it's like saying that people are incomplete without a voice. Has she seen The Little Mermaid?
Exactly. Has she seen Dumbo? Because, he doesn't speak. So,
well, Dopey from Snow White. Again, does that mean that Dopey is hollow? I think
people can still have incredible personalities if they do not speak.
Take that, IMDb reviewer.
So yes, to kind of summarise, the reception has been mixed, as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of general complaint has been that there's not enough dialogue or voice acting, which we'll touch on later on, very soon actually.
Yes.
So but people appreciate the animation. So that's kind of the summary.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
So... that brings us on to our second fun fact of the episode. So Pixar went through several iterations for Boo before they settled on the adorable little girl we see in Monsters, Inc. Initially, Boo was supposed to be a grown man who stumbled upon the monster world. Other potential versions include a little Irish girl with an accent as Merida, and she even had the potential to be Pixar's first black main character. Wow.
Can you imagine the brainstorming session for Boo? It must have been insane.
Wow. There must have been so many different sketches, so many different things.
Imagine Boo as a grown man. Imagine.
I'm sorry. The appeal would have been lost.
More like a comedy, like a major comedy.
I think it would have been even creepy as well, because like, it depends what direction they were going to take it in.
Yeah.
Like, obviously with the bedrooms, you're not going to do that with a grown man.
Oh, God. Imagine.
Like trying to scare a grown man. No. Surely they must have been thinking of something else, but I don't know. not a fan. I like the idea of the little Irish girl though, especially as it was going to be Pixar's first black main character.
Yeah.
But I love Boo as she is. I love
that
her.
That is true. I don't think you could. It's interesting to see where they are in their process before yeah. we finalize on that. Because yeah, now we can't imagine Boo any other way, and it's obviously shaped the story. Because again, Boo doesn't speak. IMDb reviewer.
Yes. Another character who is wonderful without speaking.
And not hollow. IMDb reviewer.
she's so great.
And obviously, if there was going to be an Irish girl, that indicates they would have spoken. So there would have been quite a different relationship yeah. and stuff like that. So yeah, interesting. I would love hearing what could have been.
Me too. I love that because it shows people, because some people don't realise how much effort goes into making films mm-hmm. and particularly animated films as well.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't realise the effort that goes into these things. So it's just underappreciated. Okay, so that brings us on to segment two. So this is the segment where we're going to talk about the fact that there is basically next to no dialogue mm-hmm. in these. I want to keep calling them shorts. They are shorts, but they're like episodes as well.
It's so hard to call them episodes.
It's hard to name what they are. Yeah. So in these shorts, so there's only really two episodes, which are the Ducky and Bunny ones, that feature proper dialogue. You've got some kind of like sounds. Because you've got like Dory, she definitely makes a few sounds.
Yeah, because Ellen DeGeneres is credited in it. Yeah, it's just gasps. So it's
yeah,
you've
got like
sounds from the
literally
old films.
Just like a few grunting sounds, like gasps, yeah. like here and there, which obviously have been like reused. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm assuming the Bunny and Ducky ones have also been reused as well. So I don't, they haven't been brought up in to record them.
Yeah,
new. They've taken like cuts from
deleted scenes. Yeah. Exactly. So there's only really two that have proper dialogue in. And as you've seen from the reviews, this is quite a controversial,
apparently so.
Contentious subject. Apparently, everyone needs to speak to be appreciated. So basically, the others kind of rely on music and the background noise and, of course, the animation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely a different kind of medium.
Yeah.
And people obviously had their own expectations of what they wanted from this.
More like Fantasia style, actually.
Yeah.
Ironically.
But, yes.
Or maybe very it achieves what Disney wanted to achieve back with Fantasia, with the focus being on animation and music.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true.
But potentially just done in a better, more accessible way than Fantasia was.
Yeah, slightly less abstract.
Yeah. So obviously the reason for this was to do with budgeting, to do with availability, because people were jumping between projects, and to do with time scale. Because again, getting actors to record from home must have been an absolute nightmare at some points. So it was just a lot easier, I think, for them to just stick without it. And then not everything needs voice.
No.
And these creators kind of come together, then they didn't need the storyboard, they didn't need to audition, they could literally just do their thing with their 2 month allocated time. So how did you feel, Rosie, when you like first started watching them and you realized that this was going to be a much quieter Pixar world?
So I went on a bit of a journey with this, to be honest, because obviously, like, I don't know, I'm not going to assume everyone's watched it in order. You might have picked your favorite Pixar characters to watch first, but I sat and watched them in order with the like 22 minute thing. So obviously the first one I watched was To Fitness and Beyond, which is the Buzz Lightyear one. Yeah. And for a bit of context, he's basically leaving an aerobics class for Bonnie's toys, which is a really cute concept. However, like, you've got the music, so you've got the kind of like normal workout kind of vibe going on. And obviously you've got the beautiful animation, because Toy Story is full of bright colours, like it's great. However, I was expecting Buzz to maybe be, you know, doing a few motivating like chants, like trying to get them into the workout a bit more. So when he didn't speak, I was like, this is interesting, because I guess I went in with the expectation that maybe because I've seen these characters speak before, they were going to speak again. And this is the main thing I'll probably discuss quite a lot throughout this episode, is for me, the only reason I'm let down by the lack of dialogue is because we've seen these characters before with so much dialogue. They don't stop talking, like the ones from Toy Story, The Incredibles. They're all like the main protagonists, if you like, in most of the shorts.
Yeah.
So we're used to hearing them talk all the time. We're not used to them being silent.
That's true. And I suppose the past Toy Story shorts had dialogue in them.
Yes.
So we were used to that again.
Exactly. So I'm not saying I didn't like it. I just mean that I think it was kind of different to what I was expecting, in the sense that when I see those characters, I'm ready to hear their voices again, or like I'm ready to hear them say something.
Yeah.
So I can see from that perspective, not quite as like brutally and aggressively, why people were kind of a little bit disappointed or very disappointed with the fact that there wasn't dialogue. However, as I said, I went on a journey. So what these shorts showcase for me is that some work really, really well without dialogue. If they're done in a way that the animation, the sound effects and the music shines through and it blends well together, that really works. Some of them don't work without dialogue, and that's probably because they're not doing enough in other departments, or maybe our expectations have just been set way. So for example, one that I would say works incredibly well without dialogue is the Soul one.
Yeah.
I love this one because you basically get like a day in the life of loads of different people in New York City. And these are people that we've seen very briefly, some of them a bit more than briefly, but some of them are very briefly in the film Soul. And I love it because they're just seen doing like mundane activities, just everyday things, like having a cup of tea, like out on the balcony, doing a yoga session on the bench in the park. Then there's like a traffic warden, you know, just doing his job. Like there's loads of like little snapshots of people's lives. And because of the way it's done, it kind of like pans across all of these people. And because of the music, because they actually composed new music for this short as well. Mm. So it's all like original music. So that's great. And I think the way it worked, like with blending the music and obviously the sound effects, you get sound effects from like the street. When Carly's eating his pizza, like you can hear him like buy into that. Like you've got the atmosphere created for you, and you kind of, you get what's going on just through seeing and hearing. You don't need dialogue. And so with that one and some of the others as well, it works perfectly without dialogue. And that showcases that you don't need dialogue to make it a great short. However, I see a lot of them are like silent with no dialogue. I think sometimes the ones I was watching, I did think I could have done with a little tiny bit of dialogue, just something, maybe just to start it off, like with Buzz saying like let's go, let's start, you know what I mean, like just something, and that would have been fine. But on the other hand, I don't think it's an essential part of a short. I don't think it defines a short, because that's what's so great about them, is they're experimental. There's not really any rules.
That's so true.
So yeah, they're my thoughts about like dialogue, but also the fact that the Bunny and Ducky ones have dialogue, and they're kind of quite irritating.
Oh,
I don't know
so
if you feel
annoyed.
The same. So actually, as much as I love Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele, I love both of them.
I like them in the film.
Yeah, they're really funny, and they really work well together, and they bounce off each other. But it was like you'd seen all these like quieter ones, and you finally saw dialogue, and you thought, actually,
like, can you be quiet, please. Like, because I've actually just watched a video on Indigenous American throat singing as a culture. It's a bit off topic, but the reason being that when they started talking that fast, like without much context, you know, they were doing the whole like ducky bunny thing over each other. It sounded like this throat singing.
That's pretty funny.
Took me. I'm gonna listen, honestly, it's on Facebook, it's about like people passing it down, and it sounded the exact same. I was like, what is happening? I was like, that's a coincidence, I only listened to throat singing yesterday. No, it wasn't.
You can tell that that one's more geared for kids,
yeah,
because it's got that kind of irritating dialogue that I automatically just don't relate
kids
to.
And love it, don't they?
Yeah, kids love that because they then repeat it with their like sibling or their friends, and it's like the cool thing.
Yeah.
But for us, like, well, for me at least, I was like, no, no.
Well, especially because, like you said, the other shorts have a lot more freedom because they're not tied by dialogue.
Yeah.
One thing I will kind of agree with that person before is that when they had dialogue, we didn't see any more of the world. We literally just saw them standing there talking to imaginary things. So again, you can see how easily animators are constrained when you add dialogue in.
Yeah.
You can't just do free, you can't just cut between scenes as easily. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So it made me feel like they tried to put that dialogue in because it was so popular with Toy Story 4. But they tried to kind of like shoehorn it in, and they didn't need to, I didn't think.
Especially two of them. We didn't need the Ducky and Bunny series. Like we just
didn't.
Needed one would have been fine. We could have taken one, but two, the second one was better, the three heads one. I thought
I agree,
that was a bit funnier.
It was a bit funnier,
the other one was definitely kids humor. But we didn't need to. There's much better Pixar characters.
I would have preferred them to have like replaced one of those with maybe like Woody and Bo and what they were up to.
Yeah, that's so true.
See that, because I was waiting for like Woody to appear in the first one, because obviously Jesse appears and stuff. But then I was like, he's not there anymore.
He's not there. Yeah, I had the same thought. Yeah. That would have been much better than just repeating.
Because then you'd have got a snapshot of everyone's life after Toy Story 4, basically.
Yeah.
But we didn't need two of those. Sorry.
No, we didn't.
And also, what happened to like people like pitch on projects and they don't get to pick the same project title? That's what felt like it happened.
Yeah.
The same one.
I was going to say, because the themes were different teams. I was like, interesting that we've come up with the same name, just a different like story.
It wasn't great.
No. No, not compared to, like I was saying, Soul, where you can tell, like, that wasn't constrained by anything because they could just do a nice flow of, like, the atmosphere. You could take everything in. It was almost like you could, like, smell, see and hear.
It was
like you were in New York. And the same with A Day in the Life of the Dead from the Coco one. I love that as well because it was like you were in the afterlife with them. So those two are the ones I think have done it really, really well with, like, without any dialogue or even... like grunts or anything. There wasn't really any of that in those two. So that's like my thoughts on the fact that there was little dialogue. What are your overall thoughts about it?
I think I'm quite similar to an extent. So I think I agree in the fact that I kind of went in a little bit like, shorts normally don't have voices, but I knew that the Toy Story ones had voices in the past and they're quite iconic characters. So I was like, will we have voices? I didn't really go and expect them. It was more like when it started, I was like, we don't have voices. There's my answer. It didn't really bother me, to be honest, because actually, ironically, I'll talk about it in a sec, but the Buzz one was one of my favourite ones. mainly, the first half, I was like, for goodness sake, what is happening? But then like the second half of the plot bit, I actually really enjoyed, so messaging and stuff. And I also I felt like that hit a bit harder in lockdown. Like, if any of you have seen it, I was definitely ham.
I think we've all been ham at some point.
I'm lying on the floor trying to do sit-ups and it's just not happening. And he's trying really hard. But I really liked the kind of lack of dialogue. I remember watching that was animation and enjoying it. It's different, it's new, it's a lot more relaxing and calming to just sit and watch. You get to pay a lot more attention to the characters and characters that you wouldn't normally watch because they don't normally get to speak. So for example, like in Toy Story, the fact that you've got like shots on like the hedgehog, you got shots on like that, like, the doll that was reading the so I really like that you get equal attention on lots of characters because not everyone has the same level of dialogue when you
The presence is equal.
Whereas, and that happens in real life as well. You think in real life people talk more than others and you tend to watch other people more when they're talking and you tend to forget about the other people or your surroundings. So that's removes true. That and you actually get a chance to look at the details that you miss when people are talking. Same with like the Dory finding one where they have like the little fish that comes through and it's like a little fish has a cameo from the films in there. You probably wouldn't notice that if Dory was talking because you'd be concentrating on Dory. So I think that was nice, that it makes you pay attention to the screen. I agree though with the fact that like the one that hit me was Dory. I kept waiting for Dory to speak because we know Dory so well and we've seen clips of Dory swimming on her own and always speaking
because she talks to herself constantly.
So when they talked in the background there about it had to like fit in with like the characters, like the way that they'd work, the way that they'd talk, where they'd act, I don't think some of them quite got that. Like the Dory one was cute and it was like it was cute and it was funny. Do I think that's like what we call canon? No, because I can't imagine Dory wouldn't be like swimming around not saying anything. So that one felt a bit jarring because we knew Dory so well. So you're right, I think some of them needed to maybe be rethought in their ideas and think, actually, would we ever put this without sound in a film? Because some of these scenes could work within a film with no sound, and with no dialogue in the same way. They could. The Dory one wouldn't have worked.
I agree.
Out of place with her character.
Yeah.
But I think you're right, the ones that work best are the soundscape ones, like the the Soul in the City one, the Day of the Dead, where they're more like town. I like seeing those ones that are like a day in the life and you get to flash between different locations. I also really loved, and I'm not really a Cars fan, like I enjoy it when I watch it, but I never go back and watch the Cars films.
Yeah.
I loved Dancing with the Cars.
Me
I
too. Thought
it was so cool. I loved all the colours and like the nighttime theme. The music was amazing. The animation was so creative when they were dancing with the cones. I thought that one was amazing. I really enjoyed that one.
Each of their like personalities shone through with the dances they did, and they had like specific music to showcase their personality. Yeah. I thought that was cute.
I thought it was really, really well done. And to put that together within like a 2 to 3 minute thing, I thought was so good. So good.
Yeah.
The neon light, I thought that one was great. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think it didn't kind of bother me from the beginning as much, but I said to Rosie before, I think the Buzz Lightyear one, because it's right in the beginning, I think that one probably struggles a little bit because if people go in expecting dialogue, they go in and they think, oh, Buzz isn't speaking, and then they kind of like that one less because that's the one where their expectations were kind of scuppered. Once you kind of get into the rhythm of it, the other ones maybe seem a bit more appealing because they're used to it.
Yeah.
So I think, and because Buzz is so iconic, putting him first might not have been the best way to do it.
I agree.
Because people come in and expect him to talk, and he doesn't. So I think people might be put off by that. Whereas if you've maybe done one of the Cars ones first, that kind of like eased you in a little bit, or like the Soul one, or an Incredibles one even, to ease you in. Because the Incredibles one, again, I really like their chores one because it makes sense. That would fit in the film. You can imagine that scene in the film where they're all doing their chores with their powers, with no music, with no talking. That would work. So I think maybe Pixar, maybe you just like reorder them a little bit to ease people in, I think. But no, I did. I really enjoyed the lack of dialogue, actually. I thought it was quite novel.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And then, well, we've kind of answered, but overall, do you reckon that they would have been better with dialogue?
No, so my main thing with these is that I personally, if I was one of these teams, I know it's tempting to choose the popular characters and main characters from films. I would have gone with minor characters to be the focus of every single shot.
Yeah.
Because for me, I think it's more interesting and you've got less expectations going in about what's going to happen. And therefore, for example, like you were saying about the hedgehog in the Toy Story one, Mr. Prickles, I think he's called. Like if it started off with him, like the first shot, I would have been like, oh, okay, like I wouldn't expect him to speak because he doesn't speak much in the film. So in my opinion, like the ones that have kind of got more characters in or more minor characters in, like the Coco and the Soul one in particular, and Cars as well, because they've got lots of characters in too, they work better without dialogue because you're not expecting it. You're not going expecting
that's
it.
Really
and also,
true, actually, if you maybe did it from the perspective, because you could have done that Buzz one from the perspective of Mr. Prickles.
Exactly.
That's the exact same scene, but frame it slightly differently, and the voice expectations aren't there as much.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Exactly. So, yeah, I just think maybe, especially as we know, like the unique and original Pixar shorts that they produce for the feature length films in the cinema, they're characters we don't know. So we never go in with an expectation and we're always kind of surprised by what happens. We can't really predict what's going to happen. And I think when you know the characters so well, particularly like the Toy Story ones, like and the Incredibles characters, you know so well like their personalities and what they would be saying and how often they speak. And obviously with Dory, she talks herself all the time. So then to have like to not have that, it is quite jarring. So I don't think it would have been better with dialogue. I don't think that at all. I think they should have just approached them differently with different characters, more minor characters or just more characters per short, so that we weren't kind of focusing on the same characters that we know so well. And
yeah,
we expect
and I think the
from.
Ones that do the best, like we said, like the Cars ones, not the Toy Story ones, and the Toy Story ones are the ones that focus on the classic characters. But you look at like Soul, you look at Coco, and you look at Cars. They feature like a variety of characters and don't just focus on the protagonist. Because I think it kind of goes both ways. Because what I quite like is that usually in sequels or shorts or follow ups, you very rarely get the main character. You don't tend to get that, and sometimes it can be a bit disappointing when you go in and like, oh, it's like a Toy Story show, for example, and there's no Woody.
Yeah, I agree, actually.
And it's
yeah.
like, oh, well, it's not Toy Story then, is it? So I think there needs to be a balance, and I think that's why it's always quite nice the way that you've put it, where you frame it from another character's perspective, but like the main characters are there, like the fact that at the end of the first Toy Story one, Jessie is like there dancing, but
you still include them. It's just they're not the main
focus.
You can
be like, oh, it's Jessie, but you don't need to focus on her the whole time. So I agree, actually. I think overall they work, and I think overall,
yeah,
you know, they would have been better with dialogue. That's the point of them. And
yeah,
they're not long enough. Dialogue would have
stagnated.
Yeah, that one. like they did with the Ducky and Bunny one, because that's,
yeah,
if they'd all had dialogue, they'd have all been like that.
Which would have been too much, because I think the idea of these as well is you are supposed to just put them on for like a 5-minute break, or like when you're homeschooling your kids, because at the moment that's very appropriate.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll just put a short on to kind of keep them quiet for 5 minutes while I make a cup of tea. It's that kind of vibe.
Exactly.
Or like if you're revising, a little break, that sort of thing. So yeah, that they're not meant to be kind of taken too seriously in the sense that there's meant to be a huge plot and a huge story and all this kind of
and
stuff.
And as we saw from the Ducky and Bunny ones, when you put dialogue in, it restricts the creativeness, so you wouldn't get the same snapshot into the life that we did get. I agree. I completely agree. I don't think they'd have been better with dialogue. I just think maybe some of them needed to be. Overall, I think they were great, but some I think could have done with a bit of a tweak.
I agree. Yeah, and I think you're right. The order that I think they should have started with an Incredibles one and ended with an Incredibles one, because those two are very strong.
That's true.
And they're not too. They're not dialogue heavy. And they're not like completely silent. So they would have been a good choice.
I agree.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Well, that brings us to this Disney fun fact number 3. So Woody's original design for the first Toy Story was supposed to make him a ventriloquist dummy instead of a cowboy figure. Woody was actually supposed to be the evil villain as well, but Tom Hanks was super opposed to that. Not surprised.
Thank goodness for Tom Hanks. I don't think that film would have done as well as it has done.
A ventriloquist dummy. Bear in mind that they're like the evil ones in Toy Story 4.
I can't. Oh, and I hate them as well. I don't know about anyone else, but they really scared me. I found them so creepy.
They are really creepy.
Their faces.
Imagine Woody is one of those.
That would give children nightmares.
Why would that be Andy's favourite toy? Andy would be a bit of a weirdo.
He would be a bit messed up. It would have been a whole different ballgame. I'm not sure we would be sat here having all the Toy Story merch and sequels.
It would make more sense of him being like the villain, like pushing Buzz out the window. That might make a bit more sense.
Yeah, I suppose in that respect. But
I'm glad. Thank you, Tom Hanks.
There's a lot of reasons to be thankful for Tom Hanks. But in this case, this is a very big thank you very much.
I think you can kind of see Woody as the villain in bed.
Yeah.
But it's
definitely.
More that he's just a complex character. And that's why we love Woody, is because he's so complex and relatable, and that he has all these different emotions. If you just made him the simple villain, that would not be as good. So
an ventriloquist dummy is just, it's not the one. No, thank you. We love the cowboy. Thank you.
You'd have like, no, there's a stake in my boot. You wouldn't have
that. His iconic cowboy hat and boots and
there's
like
a string in my mouth.
Would Bullseye exist? No? Would Jesse exist?
No,
I don't know.
No,
like
no. Mission.
It ruins it. Thank you. I'm glad that didn't happen. So we've got something very exciting now.
Yes.
So before we jump into segment 3, it's time for our first small shop ad.
Yay!
Which is very exciting. So we're introducing these into the show to spotlight some small shops, usually Disney focused, that you can check out for yourself. So today's episode features Cook's Crafty Corners. So Cook's Crafty Corners is an Etsy shop run by Ellie, which is at Ellie Crafty Corner on Instagram. That's her account, and is helped by her boyfriend, Mikey. And Cook's Crafty Corners offers lots of Disney and non-Disney items, from face masks and scrunchies to resin coasters, earrings and keychains. They've most recently launched tote bags, lanyards and key fobs, pop sockets and birthday cards.
Ooh.
Lots of items there to check out.
Yeah.
And they're always happy to do custom orders as well, which is great.
Everyone
loves
you, Rosie.
It is very me. I love a custom order. I love it to be like made to what I want. You should be able to find something for everyone in their shop, because they've got a huge amount of items there, especially with custom.
And I like that it's quite a small, like you can get like small sizes and bigger size items as well.
Yeah.
So even if you pop on and you think I can't quite afford that one, you can probably get a smaller one with that shop, which is nice.
Yeah, and it sounds perfect for gifts as well. And you've got birthday cards, so you can get a birthday card and like a key ring for a friend or like some earrings. It sounds like they cater for everyone, which is wonderful. So Cook's Crafty Corners are based in the south coast of England, but they offer shipping worldwide. So if you'd like to find out more about their shop, head over to their Instagram. As I said before, that's at Ellie Crafty Corner, to find out more about their products and how you can purchase some things. I mean, I've actually had a little look and I can already see myself purchasing something, so
Yeah. It's a really lovely story as well, isn't it? So we chatted to Ellie a little bit, and this business was set up only last year because of COVID. So Ellie has kind of popped onto furlough. She set this up on the side with her boyfriend, and then kind of when COVID like took a hit and she ended up kind of doing this more full time.
Yeah.
I think it's a really nice thing to come out of a pretty poo situation.
Yeah.
Like a big well done to Ellie for getting that off the ground and creating some lovely, lovely stuff. So we'll also be sharing Cook's Crafty Corners across our social media as well, so that you can kind of follow along with Ellie and find some of her products there as well. So Izzy, what's your favourite episode or short from this? Obviously there might be more than one, so share.
I can't be restricted to just one. So my favourite is Soul of the City. Mm-hmm. So if you listen to our Soul episode, you won't be surprised by this, because I loved Soul. Like, that was a huge hit for me in terms of Pixar films. So I was very excited to see that they'd actually included it in this one thing. I love that. And as I've already mentioned, I love it because it's basically about taking in the sights and sounds of New York City as it comes to life. And it really does feel like you're in New York, like breathing in the air, like smelling all the different smells, like the pizza, like, and I just love it. I love how it kind of showcases like just people living their lives and like all the mundane things that we don't really think are like, you know, worthy of any attention. But
things
when you
that
actually,
we never thought we'd need to see,
really
enjoy watching.
But they're actually very like watchable and therapeutic as well. Like, as a whole, I found Soul very therapeutic to watch. So this Soul short, again, it had the same kind of vibe. I just felt so relaxed. It's like the Zen animation thing that we've mentioned before as well. You kind of just sat there, and it's like a nice little breathing time, and it's very beautiful as well. That's the other thing I wanted to mention, is I think you can just tell how far along with the animation they were with Soul when you see this short as well, because I know obviously these were all produced at the same time, but I think because the animation style in Soul had progressed so much from all of the others, it looks so beautiful. Like, honestly, I find it so hard sometimes to like remind myself it's animation.
I know, it does
so
feel
realistic,
doesn't it?
It's just so realistic, and I just love that you basically got like a little montage with beautiful music as well, of people's everyday life. So I love that, and I think it was a perfect length. Like, I loved it from start to finish. It started well and it finished well with Joe like on his piano. I thought it was a nice thing. It's nice that Joe was in it as well.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. I like that because he's not even like a main focus of it. Like, it's across all of the characters. They all get an equal amount of attention on what
Which
they're doing.
Nice.
No one's more important. So, yeah. So that's my favourite. My next ones are probably the Incredibles ones. So I actually think in terms of like a whole, the Num Num Cookie Num Num one works better than the Chores one, and my reason for this comes back to the dialogue discussion. Obviously they're trying to be quiet and not wake up Elastigirl or Helen Parr, and so it works better because you're not expecting people to speak because they're trying to be as quiet as possible. So for me, that one is the better Incredibles one, just because it feels more likely that they're not going to speak. I love the Chores one as well, because I love the fact that Violet uses force fields to like clear up like underneath the sofa.
I love that.
And just like transport it to the bin. I thought that was such a mood.
I
know, I was just there like, I really wish I could do that. Like, what a power to have. And I love that Dash, like, he was supposed to clean the car with a bucket and, like,
so
a sponge.
Funny.
And then he sees the remote.
That also took me far too long to figure out as well. I was like, oh, like, he's enjoying playing with the car. And then I was like, oh, no, he's washing the car.
Yeah. I love that because they all take, like, shortcuts, which they can do because they're supers. So I did love that one. And you're right, it would fit into, like, an Incredibles film. But I was thinking, like, you might get a bit of dialogue here and there, or like a bit more noise from some, especially the kids, because we know Dash is loud.
That's true.
He's a character that doesn't stop talking. He's quite annoying. Like, it's different with Violet because she's quiet. So you expect it from her. So yeah, not to dwell too much on the dialogue thing again, but I think I love both of the Incredibles ones, and I loved at the end of the Chores one as well, when it was raining and they were having a barbecue and Violet creates a force
them
to
that.
Sit under, and Jack's using
that
his like
one of my favorite moments of the whole thing. That was so clever.
It's amazing because they're like roasted, like toasting marshmallows over Jack because he's like
baby.
Yeah. Which is like questionable and disturbing, but also amazing because like it just shows what they're like as a family, and I love that because it just shows how like exciting their life must be.
Yeah,
they can do things other people can't.
Yeah,
yeah. But the cookie num num one, I just thought I loved it when Elastigirl finally like took the cookie.
That was
like,
so funny.
It was hilarious. So yeah, they're like my next favorite ones. I think again, like with the Incredibles, the characters are just so iconic, and they've all got like such great personalities that they're just always going to be appealing to people. And even without dialogue, like you can kind of gauge what they'll be thinking in that moment because you know them so well. I also love the Coco one because it was quite similar to the Soul one, because you were kind of like getting like an average day in the afterlife of Coco. And it was nice to have some of the Mexican style music back again.
Yeah.
I love that. And honestly, like, living in the afterlife, look, it's kind of fun, but also very impractical.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. It looks really stressful. I'd be exhausted every day.
Yeah, because there's the guy, like, I can't remember what his job is, but there's one of the guys, like, he's trying to, like, answer the phone, and his jaw just drops off.
He's on the thing he's, like, near, like, the ticket barriers, isn't
it? Yeah, that's it.
I agree. That was so stressful to watch. He's trying to eat a cake, he's trying to answer the phone, and his jaw kept falling off, and I was like, I couldn't, I just
And he tried to tape it on, and I was like, no, that's not going to work. So that part of it, I was like, oh, no, that's not for me. But then there was, like, really fun parts of the afterlife, and you were like, oh, that could be quite nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were my favourite ones, like, my favourite four. I think it's not that I didn't like the others, because I did actually like all of them. I just think the others were lacking something. Potentially, like, the animation wasn't as striking, particularly with the Ducky and Bunny ones. I think, like you said, it is you're so focused on their conversation and the humour that you're not really getting much to watch.
No.
It's more like you're just listening to what they're saying.
Yeah.
So with those, as someone who loves visuals, it was kind of, it wasn't as interesting for me. And I did love the Cars ones, but again, they just weren't quite as good as the ones that I've already mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think you can tell that I probably go for more animation, like montage-y kind of things, rather than, because I think that just highlights though that shorts don't need plots.
Yeah, that's true.
Because with like my main favourite one, there is really no plot. You're just getting a nice pan of New York City.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
So, but what about you? Which ones are your favourites?
Because I actually really like the first Buzz Lightyear one. Like I said, so the first half, when it started, I was just a bit like, this is a bit naff. It's a bit boring. But when he walks away and turns off his music box and is like, no one's listening, no one's paying attention. And then they turn the music box back on and all start exercising of their own accord. Honestly, my heart actually skipped a beat. And cutest thing, and then he gets so excited and runs back to join in with them all, and I just thought that was a kind of nice message, that sometimes you don't realize the impact you have on other people.
Yeah, that's true.
And then it can be really easy to sometimes think like, oh, like, no one's listening to me, or like, no one notices that I'm here, but actually people do, and they maybe just don't tell you or they don't show you. And I thought that was just quite a nice message, is that, you know, even if you have an impact on one person, it's, you should carry on doing what you're doing. Because he was kind of, he without realizing it, he was pushing and inspiring other people, even if he felt like he wasn't. So from a message point of view, I thought that one was really, really nice. And it was just nice to see them all, like, how creative it was. Like, when Ham started doing sit-ups with, like, the peas and the pod cushion, and, like, when Rex had the, like, was it, like, Lego thing that he was doing push-ups on?
Yeah, and he's so trying to, like, touch the ground,
So I really enjoyed that one from like a creative and like a contextual point. That was really, really clever and nice. Soul was one of my favorites because when I went to New York, that's how it felt. Like that everyone was doing something around you, and I feel like it captured that moment of like what New York is about. So you can have like the hospital craziness right next to someone just like doing yoga in the park. I literally saw people doing that in the park one evening. I was walking along like the High Line, which is like a garden in New York that's set on a train line, so you can kind of see over parks and stuff. And there was a full-on yoga session happening at like 6 o'clock in the evening in the park. It was bizarre. But that is what New York is like. Same with the pizza, people just walk along the street with slices of pizza. So it felt very authentic. And I like the fact as well that then it kind of showed us that the music was actually Joe at the end. That was really nice. Because to be fair, in the actual film, we don't see Joe play a lot. We see him.
No.
But given how much he talks about flipping jazz and how much he loves it.
Yeah, we don't get to see his potential his much.
Talent, no. So it was nice to kind of see him do that in a really subdued place.
Yeah.
Where you actually saw his love for the music because it wasn't for an audience. And that was really, really nice. So I enjoyed that one for that reason. I enjoyed the Coco one just because it was like, it's Coco and I love the animation.
Yes.
The vibes, the music, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I probably my second favourite one was the Dancing with the Cars one. I just thought it was so clever and it was so entertaining. I don't understand how you can be entertained in 2 minutes.
Yeah, it is very clever.
The whole vibe they created, the music, the like, they managed to create some kind of like dance rave scene with Flo's Cafe.
Yeah, like, with cars.
So cool. And yeah. Especially because I'm not a cars like enthusiast. Mm-hmm. It just shows how impressed I was because I thought it was really, really cool. And yeah, I also like the first Incredibles one because I loved like how, again, I love when it's like creative stuff.
Yeah.
Like, animation. So you're, again, like with the cars one, it's creative, using cars for like a different way, kind of using their space for something different.
Mm.
And using the context of the world. That's why I love Zootropolis so much.
But yeah.
I forget like having the, when they have like the little like transporter that sends like the ice cream up higher for the giraffe. Like I love that kind
of stuff. Yeah, little details like that.
So that's why these ones appeal to me most, I think. Because the same with that one, with the Incredibles one. That moment at the end with the marshmallows and the rain and the Jack, that was so clever. I never thought about that.
It was just really clever.
So good.
Visually, it just looked insane.
I know. It was so cool. So, yeah, they were my favourites. When it comes to, like, least favourites and ones that I wasn't that fussed on, I just, like I say, the... I actually enjoyed watching Dory find, and like, I enjoyed watching it. It was a bit boring. Like, I was like, oh, it's Dory. And then once that initial, like, novelty wore off, I was like, this is a bit boring.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for her to speak. That was the only one where the lack of sound or dialogue really hit me.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't fit with her character at all. I also really wasn't a fan of the fluffy, stuffy ducky and bunny.
They shouldn't have done two. They didn't need to do two.
I just thought they were boring. And I thought, again, they were, like, trying to, like... force dialogue in for the sake of it, and it actually didn't like add the other things, added things. They were basically identical. Do you remember when they were doing Toy Story 4 promo and they released those
guys? Oh yeah, like the adverts. Yeah,
that was identical to that, and it didn't really, it doesn't add anything when you know who they are.
Actually, that's a good point. So a lot of these could be like promos for the films.
Well, that's
instead
what one of the reviewers
of
said before, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that's because obviously Toy Story did that quite a lot. But I feel like that one in particular, because they had a fluffy, stuffy, ducky, bunny, whoever they are, in already for those promos, because we've already seen them. It felt a bit like, and it's in the same location as well.
Yeah, like we've seen this before. It's not new enough.
What is this supposed to tell me, Rose? All the other ones gave me something like a little bit extra about the characters.
Mm.
That didn't. And so that was why they were my least favourite, I think. I wasn't really feeling those ones. And the unparalleled parking one, again, for the same reason, I thought was really boring.
Well, I think it's just because it's cars, like, and you expect them to park.
Well, yeah.
Like... So it's like, you don't get anything new. Like, sure, it was funny. But again, like, yeah, it could have been a promo for a Cars film. Yeah. It could have been, like, a short for a Cars film.
It didn't tell me anything new about the characters.
No.
However, that one was a good example of how to use a main character well in a short, but not focus on them. That was a really good example of that. But overall, I was just a bit like... Is that it?
Yeah, I agree, because Lightning McQueen was in it for like 5 seconds. Like, no fuss was made
and
out of him.
It was classic, iconic Lightning McQueen. Like, he was so in character as him as well. Like, it made sense.
Yeah.
But we didn't focus and dwell on him, so yeah. So I think we're like quite in sync with what we didn't like.
Yeah.
Mainly. But I think, again, like, me and you both look for different things.
Which is what we find when we talk about feature-length films as well. We have like different things that we like the most, so therefore we're let down if that thing isn't in it.
So
I think we're relatively on the same page. I think we're also we disagree with people's reviews of Ducky and Bunny. I'd say the score, I would give it lower.
Yeah, it annoyed me when people kept being like, that was the saving grace, and I was like,
No. You could have removed them. Like, they are funny, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not trying to say that they were terrible, but they just weren't as good as the other ones. And we've seen it before. No. We've seen that banter before. Yeah. Like, if it was a new promo and we hadn't seen these characters before, great, because they were great in the promo when they did have
to
play the four
Toy
Story 4.
They were great in the film. Like, yeah. But the great thing about the film, why they worked so well in the film is because they were these new characters who turned up, had no idea what was going on.
Exactly.
Amidst a group of people that we knew really well. Yeah. Like, that scene in Toy Story 4 in the antique shop where they keep showing ways to get the key. Oh, me and my mum were nearly wetting ourselves.
I love that.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it was in the context of a plot. That type of comedy and humour, for me, doesn't work on its own. It has to work in a plot and with characters that you know well. It doesn't work so
it's just
like that.
Lackluster. Like, it's like a cheap gag. Like, it doesn't feel like it's adding anything to anything. So, yeah, I agree. And it comes back to what I was saying. Like, if you're going
to
use characters that are well-known, people are going
to
expect more from it.
And the fact that they were both of them were in the exact same place.
I know. You could have been a bit more creative. And obviously, we're not saying, like, you know, we know these people had time restrictions. They had plenty of restraints, plenty of things against them. However, if you're making a series of 10 shorts, would you put two of the same?
No.
No, you wouldn't. Even though I know they've named it, like, one of them's Love and one of them is Three Heads, which when I first saw that, I thought, what on earth are we about to witness? Thankfully, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought they were going to have three heads.
Yeah,
really,
and I was like,
concerned.
I can't remember three of them. I'm sorry,
after watching the first one, I was like, please, no, I can't take any more madness. But yeah, I think we just needed only one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could have just done a whole Ducky and Bunny series, like The Forky Asks a Question. Maybe they should have done that and catered it
instead,
towards kids instead of putting it in this selection.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
So, with that brings us on to our fourth fun fact of the episode. So, did you know that Pixar almost lost a year of work on Toy Story 2? Someone accidentally ran a command to clear out the system on Pixar, and all of the files were deleted. Luckily, Associate Technical Director Galen Suzman had been working at home to be near her newborn. She had all of the files they needed on her personal computer.
Oh,
thank
my
goodness
God.
For that.
Can you imagine being the person that ran that command?
I would never live that down. Like,
I'd never come back.
About it every day of my life. Can you imagine if someone hadn't have had, like, if Galen hadn't have had the files on her personal computer?
Can you imagine if someone being like, what just happened to my computer? Like, where's all my stuff gone? And having to stand up and be like, it was me.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, your colleagues and co-workers who have been working hours, like, creating and designing this, and then for you to be like, yeah, sorry, I've just deleted everything.
Oh,
like,
well, thank God for Galen, I tell you what.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad there was someone. This shows we need to be organised, people. Always back up your work.
This is the best example ever for always back up your work.
Yes. Do not be that person. Be more like Galen is the message of that fun fact. So, moving on then to our final segment. So I think this is going to be the most interesting one. So in this segment, we're just going to discuss the fact that these shorts only included 6 Disney Pixar films / franchises. So from that, we know there's quite a few missing. Quite a few amazing ones missing.
My favourites.
So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of say what we felt was missing, what we would have liked, and how that would have worked. So Casey, I know what you're going to say, but no, people listening might not. So please indulge.
So picture this, right? Scotland.
Oh, surprise.
Brave. I was so sad there wasn't a Merida one, because I think, again, like, that would have worked really well, because we haven't had any sequels for Merida. We haven't had any shorts for Merida.
Yep.
So that would have been a really nice short to have gone further into that world. I think there could be two. I'd pitch two different ways. The first way, I think you could actually do it from the Wisps and do one about the Wisps and their world, because we only get a tiny glimpse of them in the film.
Yeah, we do.
It's nice to see, like, do they have a community? Do they, like, how do the Wisps happen?
Mm-hmm.
That would be really cute. And then I think the other one would be quite nice to maybe see, like, either Merida doing more training with her mum, but, like, obviously in a different dynamic now, because they're kind of, like, they've agreed to get on slightly more.
Yeah.
Or kind of seeing her, like, become queen or however, because I doubt we'd get a braid too anyway. So it might be quite nice to kind of like see her kind of like as a queen. That would be quite interesting.
Yeah.
Or again, you could see like the brothers. That'd be quite a nice one, actually. Oh. It would be my least favourite of the three options.
Yeah, but...
Kid Taylor. But like, how fun were those scenes when like the her brothers were like running through the castle and like in the kitchen and stuff. And again, yeah. like what you said about there's so many characters... There's so many characters in Brave. You could do like one from all the different clans and like.
Oh, so yeah. Cool. Would have loved that.
And the music would have been beautiful. And you know what? I know it would be harder without dialogue because it's a very dialogue heavy film.
Mm.
But I think it could be done quite easily because you could show that like kind of like in the life of the clans, in the life of Meredith, in the life of the household. Like you kind of just do like a day in the kitchen. Like that would be so cute. I really, really wish there had been one of those because I just feel like Merida is underrepresented, undervalued. So that was my first one.
I completely agree.
Yeah, and then my second one, I'd love a Ratatouille one. I really
need
more of like the Remy's little kitchen, like their new kitchen, their new restaurant. I'd love to see that and kind of how that restaurant operated a bit more because I love the end of the Ratatouille when you can see like the little rat restaurant upstairs. And,
I love that. And we don't get enough.
The little details, what they're like, Remy has like a little like slime, like comes out with his little hat. Like it would have been lovely to have seen that in action again. So I was gutted that we didn't get one of those two.
Yeah.
But when we had like three Toy Story ones and two Cars ones, I was like, come on.
I completely agree.
Where like it makes me sad that people in Pixar weren't championing Merida.
I know, because she's so underappreciated. Yeah. And I mean, Ratatouille isn't as underappreciated because obviously we've got like rides themed to it in the park and stuff. But it's still underappreciated because I think sometimes when people think Pixar, they do forget about things like Ratatouille and Brave.
That's true.
So it is sad. And I would have been one of those people there that would have been like, why don't we do Brave? Or like, why don't we do Ratatouille? And then they would have said, no, let's do a Ducky and Bunny short. And I would have been like, please no. Like,
hold up.
Tell me a bit more creative.
Because it makes sense for some of them. Like, obviously, like, Doug... Like, Up doesn't have any because Doug Days is kind of...
Yeah, is on its way.
Which we mentioned in our episode 13, Disney Investor Day.
Yes.
We mentioned that briefly there. So that makes sense as to why like, that one isn't included. But again, why give us three? I know people like Toy Story, but we have a whole series of Toy Story shorts already. So I was just a bit like...
Yeah, again, like, not to nag about this, but it comes back to the fact that they're all main characters as well. Yeah. If you're going to do three, please do one that at least focuses on the lesser-known characters. Because, like, some of Bonnie's toys, they don't have a lot of attention in the film. So, like, it'd be nice to see them, see what they're like.
Yeah, you know, like, the little purple-haired doll when we see her briefly? I'd love to have kind of seen her, like, trying to take control back of the room or, like...
Yeah,
her
exactly.
And Jessie would be a great, like, pair. It would be quite funny, actually.
That would have been a nice dynamic. Yeah. And again, it's new. We haven't seen that before. Like, this is the problem. If you're going to use main characters, do something different with them. So yeah, I completely agree. It was a letdown that we ended up with so many Toy Story ones, especially when two were essentially repeats.
Oh, that actually is painful. When you think of what we could have had from Scotland.
Honestly, because when you were saying your ideas, which I love, if you'd have pitched them to me, I would have approved and they would have been wonderful. But what I loved about yours is all I was thinking about was the music.
Yeah.
Scottish music, like you got the bagpipes. And then with Ratatouille, the beautiful French music that you get. Oh,
it was so nice.
That would have been so much
better.
And again,
like landscape wise, it's so different. So you've got the like with the Day of the Dead and the Soul one.
Yeah.
That's what makes them so exciting is the landscape. And you would have that with Paris and with Scotland. So
I think they would have gone down a lot better.
Series two, I better be having it, Merida. I'm Ratatouille, please.
Yeah, but if they do a series two and it's just Toy Story and The Incredibles again, I'm not even going to watch it because I'm sorry. Going to have to rebel because that's not okay. They need to go back to the drawing board. I know they've been limited, but come on now.
All I want is, I'm not even asking for a sequel. I'm asking for a minute.
Yeah, you're not asking for a Brave sequel, which would be nice, or like something else with Brave would be nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, 2 minutes. Like four max, like give us something, please. Just the bagpipes, like just anything. So yeah,
enough about me and my Brave desires. I have so many hopes and dreams for Brave in the future.
You do.
I do. So how about you? What would be your short that you would love to create?
So I I would choose the same sort of films that you've chosen. So mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen something to do with Brave and something to do with Ratatouille as well, because they're just so underappreciated, underrepresented. And it makes me sad that they weren't there. Because when I scanned it before watching it, I was looking at which films were included and I was like,
yeah,
where are the rest of them? Because you could have also had a Monsters, Inc., Monsters University. We could have had something from those, because we don't, again, we don't get that much from them either. There's quite a few underrepresented Pixar films. One that I would love, being my favourite Pixar film, Inside Out, I would have loved to have seen a short from Inside Out, because I'm not being funny, but where was it?
Oh my goodness, you are so right. How did I even forget?
How did you? I mean, I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm a bit offended because
we have had,
okay, I'll admit, there was a couple of Riley's First Dates shorts. Like, we did have that. I don't know if you've seen those.
One teeny tiny one.
Okay, it was one. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
So we had one and I love that one. But again, Inside Out, there's so much potential, because I was thinking, I know it's not completely original, but every person is unique. Every person's mind is unique. Every person's emotions are unique. Their core emotions.
The credits of that film where we went into all the, even like the dog's mind. This,
exactly what I was about to say. I would love to go into someone else's mind in really like nice detail of like some nice music, where we see like which islands they have. Because, you know, Riley's got like friendship, family, trust. That's and then she had hockey, like ice hockey island, and all of like all the ones she had. They were very unique to her. So I would love to go into someone else's mind and see what islands they had to do with their personality, see which emotions drive their brain and their mind.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. And obviously, like, when we saw it with the animals, that was amazing as well. Yeah, I love seeing how cats' minds worked and, like, dogs and how it was so different. So they could have done something with that. They could have built off of that. Because I know, like, people loved that at the end of the film. They really loved that, because it was so clever. And I think it's one of those things that can really open itself up to like another like short version of them. So you could even do a series of that, like that a series of lots of people's different minds, like animals as well, which I would love.
Of course.
So
animals.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, when I saw Inside Out wasn't on there, I was thinking like,
that's so true. Do you know what? It's because I feel like the films are like really successful, but don't always feel like Pixar. So things like Ratatouille and Inside Out don't always feel Pixar, I feel, because I just feel like Toy Story dominates the Pixar.
Oh, it does.
Field,
the franchise.
Which is fine, because obviously that's kind of where it, like, you know, it originated from in Disney and stuff like that. Mm. But I am one of those people who forgets things like Ratatouille is Pixar. Like, I always have to Google and then be like, ah, yeah, like these. I always have to Google Pixar films all the time. so sometimes I'm like, even though, like, if you said them to me, I would know.
Yeah.
But it's instantly, I like, when it's like, what's a Pixar film, I'm like, Toy Story.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people think it is, like, it's just Toy Story, and like Finding Nemo, because Finding Nemo is really popular as well. It's kind of like on a similar level.
That's true.
Actually, another one that I've just thought of, I would love to see an Onward short.
Yeah.
Because
I think his magic would be so cool.
Yeah, like, I would have loved to see in like a few different things with that, like, because again, you've got other characters in that that you could focus on. It doesn't have to just be Ian and Barley.
Yeah.
It could be their mum. She was amazing. Like, a day in the life of their mum. Because we saw like bits and pieces of what she did, but maybe like we just see what her daily life was like.
The, what's the name? The something tour, Gigantosaur.
The I know who you mean, the one with the wings.
Yeah.
What was she called?
The Manticore.
Manticore. Manticore.
We got there
yes,
in the end.
The Manticore, like, pre-working in the restaurant.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what? That'd Disney be Pixar, awesome. You need to just hire us, because clearly...
We've come up with this in minutes. I'm sorry.
But I'll tell you what, if we start seeing these ideas pop up on Disney Plus, we know that someone somewhere is stealing our ideas and we'll be after you for our commission.
We will be there. We'll be on it. It's all recorded here. We have the evidence.
We can document that it was our ideas. please make a Merida one.
If you make what we want, I mean, to be fair, we'll probably just be happy and just, you know, like, oh, we came up with the idea, but we won't fight it, you know?
No.
So yeah, they're like the ones I'd like. I think I'd like one from Inside Out, I'd like one from Onward, and the same as you. I'd love this the Ratatouille and Brave as well. I just think we need more from some of the films that we don't get a lot from.
And things that, like you say, we haven't already seen more of that world. We know there's more to explore. We've seen so much of the Toy Story world and the Incredibles world.
We have.
Which is, you know, great. Pop one in, but we don't need loads of them.
Especially as, like, some of the others are so different. Yeah. Like, some of our films are similar with, like, the messages or the world. With, like, Onward, it's magic. Like, there's magic. Like, why can we not have a short about magic? I really want that. Or, like, because their little pet's like a little dragon. Maybe a day in the life of that dragon. That would be amazing.
There's another one, Disney, you see?
Yeah, we're just popping them out.
Popping them out and right and centre. Oh, we're so in sync.
So, yeah, I think the overall theme here is that they need to broaden the films that they pick next time when they do this, if they do it again. I'm sure they probably will. Don't pick three from the same film, or even two. Like, we didn't need two Cars. We didn't need two from The Incredibles either. Just one per film, please.
Yes.
And that would make us happy.
Yeah, it would. Quick question, like, just one word to end this section. What film would you be happy to ignore in the shorts?
Ooh, as in the ones that we had, or just any Pixar film?
Any Pixar film. So which one would you be, like, absolutely not?
Just going to hook you to a little Google.
I'm ready with mine. The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, for goodness sake. Do you know what?
I've already had enough of The Good Dinosaur. Don't need any more time spent on that.
It's absolutely testament to the fact that I forget that film exists. Because I honestly, when I think of Pixar, I don't think of The Good Dinosaur. And when you said that, I was like, of course that's
literally
Pixar.
My brain goes from, like, Toy Story and Incredible and Good Dinosaur. Like, they're like where it goes.
I can't.
Yeah, no, please don't make a Good Dinosaur one. For all that is good in this world, I can't take any more. The film was already pushing it, so no thank you.
It's sad because I know we slate it. Don't get me wrong, the animation was absolutely incredible, amazing, really, really, really nice. Where was the story?
It might actually work as a 1 minute short.
Yeah, maybe that was what they should have done. Maybe that was the message. We only needed to work on this for a few months, not years.
We didn't need a full length feature film. We needed a minute and people were happy.
Okay, I agree. Definitely The Good Dinosaur. Just because it might work as a short, but because we just don't like that film, I wouldn't be gravitating towards it personally.
No.
I don't know, because I was thinking Wall-E, but actually Wall-E would work quite well. And that's another one that I kind of forget is Pixar, or I kind of forget it exists, but not because it's not good, it's just not one of my favorites. Like,
very true, very true. I feel like I haven't seen Bug's Life enough to have any strong feelings.
I think it would work. Would it be as popular? I don't know. Maybe it would reignite the kind of love for Bug's Life. I don't know. But I think like in some ways they all work. Like, if we're being honest, they kind of all work. It's just The Good Dinosaur wouldn't be as attractive to us.
No. And do you know what? I also think I probably prefer, like, a Monsters University one to a Monsters, Inc. one.
Yeah.
I think now that we've kind of had that initial intro to the Monsters University world, like, I'd love to have seen, like, more of their classes, or, like, more of, like, the Yzma Kappa house. It'd be really, really cool.
Yes.
Because, again, we've seen quite a lot of the outside world of, like, Monsters, Inc. Because we've had Monsters University as well. We haven't really seen a lot of that time gap. So kind of even seeing, like, Sully and Mike working as, like, the postman would be really cool.
Oh, yeah, because I love that. Like, when we got a little glimpse of it.
Yeah.
But how hilarious would it be? Because Sully and Mike are such a duo. Like, they're so iconic.
And you wouldn't need dialogue for that either. Like, even though they're the main characters, you wouldn't need dialogue because they can both be really physical in the way that they are with each other.
So yeah.
That would work as well. And, like, grunts would be enough for that, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
That then brings us to the end of this episode. So thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed, then please subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, or follow us on Podbean or Pandora or Audible or whatever you're listening on, because we know that you all listen across such a variety of channels. If you've been listening for a while, and a review would be fantastic. We know some of you have left some earlier on, but leaving us a review really, really helps us be found by other people, helps us rank, and basically means that we can kind of keep doing the podcast for longer because people are still interested.
Yeah.
It'll be really, really cool. If you've got any Disney-loving friends, make sure to pass us on to them. That's what I do with all of my Disney podcasts. I always pass them on to my friends as well. And speaking of Disney podcasts, our episode of Making the Magic Fairy Tale Holidays launches this week. So I think it probably Will it be out by the time we release this? Maybe.
Yes.
Their channel, catch up on their episodes already and look out for ours. So we'll be releasing this week. We were lucky enough to be guests on the show with Amanda and Martin, who are the hosts, and we chatted all things Disney parks. And we went from Florida to Paris to how we got into Disney. It was quite nice. It was really, really nice.
It was really nice. It was nice being on the other end
of a podcast. I had to edit it. It was quite nice. So go out and go and check out their Instagram, go and check out their channel. So that is Making the Magic Fairy Tale Holidays podcast, which is really, really cool. I've listened to quite a few this week and I've really enjoyed them. So they're quite a nice parks fix, I think, when you
It's nice, like, if you're missing the parks, to like hear about things to do with the parks, and like it kind of encourages you to think of your next park trip and like where you'd stay. Yeah,
so definitely go ahead to their channel and listen out for us when we pop up, which will be really exciting.
Yes. And of course, don't forget to follow along with our Instagram for all of our latest magical adventures / throwbacks, mainly throwbacks, of course.
A lot of throwbacks.
And we're currently offering ad slots in our podcast, like the one that you heard earlier. And you can find out all the information about those over on Instagram and Facebook. So if you're a small business, please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to see what everyone's creating with all their Disney small shops. I'm personally a huge fan of buying things from small shops, so it'll be lovely to kind of give you a spotlight. And coming up next time, we're trying something new. So we'll be reviewing an iconic Disney soundtrack against its live action counterpart. So yeah, you'll have to tune in to find out which one, because we're not revealing that information. So
what that
on
really
a bit
means
of a...
is we haven't chosen one yet.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many amazing ones to choose from. I think we need to have a chat and think.
Because I think we've probably both got like different favourites. We're probably going to have to like compromise somewhere, or just save the other one for later. That's but either way, it's a completely original episode. So we like to keep things nice and mixed up around here, spice
fresh,
up the podcast.
Disney podcast.
Yeah, expect the unexpected with us. And then finally, if you've got any inquiries, please email us at springclubdisneypodcast@gmail.com. Equally, if you've got any inquiries about like the ad slots or anything like that, or if you'd like to be a guest on our podcast, or you'd like us to be a guest on your podcast, please email us to that email address or DM us on Instagram. So we've been a Sprinkle of Disney, and have a magical rest of your day.